explore. Look upon its beauty and marvel. And we give you praise. Oh God, we glorify you. Ibrokesko tande palimo saka mayato brisko fela makunte lagi. Explore. Simonelo serika. Singo proto santalia mama la maskedi boko. Thank you, Lord. We have decided tonight to draw near to you. Receive us into your inner chambers. Grant us such disclosures of your privacy. Such things that are great and mighty that we do not know. Give us access. Cause us to lay hold. Thank you, Father. Masesilo me cobresco falamina sicatar. In the name of Jesus. We acknowledge our frame that all our members are heavily laden with infirmity. And it is the Spirit that helpeth our infirmities. Tonight we submit that you might help us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can you celebrate your neighbor before you take your seat? So many people had to make all kinds of trips in order to be in this place. God will meet you at the point of your need in the name of Jesus. My friend Damola and his wife, all the way from the United States, came to be with us in this conference. Can you rise for recognition with your wife? All the way, can you give them a Lagos welcome? You are welcome. In Jesus' name. Amen. In a moment of time, we want to set the coordinates for our journey this weekend. And I want to invite you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 6. I want to take just a verse of scripture. Under normal circumstances, theologically, it is expected that we read a couple of other scriptures in order for the verse of interest to be found within its habitat and its context. But because of the resource called time, we will violate that provision and look directly on verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. Can we read together? He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. First of all, I want to begin by telling you the history of your human spirit before we attempt to engage the scripture. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
You must have heard my thesis on the fact that man is not a spirit, but man has a spirit. So I need to take us to the Garden of Eden to show you the history of your spirit before we begin the adventure that is before us this evening. First of all, in the creation, the Bible makes us to understand that something happened in the book of Genesis chapter 1 from verse 26. Are you there with me? Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. If the technical people are present, just follow me as I go. And God said, let us make man in our image and after his likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. The image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God created man in his own image. Meanwhile, it's needful to understand that the project that God was embarking upon was a project of making man, not a project of creating man. Part of what it takes for man to be made is create. The first stage of the making process is the creation process. And the creation process has to do with God bringing something into existence out of nothing. That immaterial component of man, that immaterial part of man that came from God, that will ultimately return to God from whence it came, is the spirit component of man. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, from verse 5 to verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, from verse 5 to verse 7. If you have your Bible, please turn. I want to show you history before we begin to make progress. Our subject for this weekend is very important. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. There was a challenge in the earth, and the challenge was that there was no administrator. The garden and the earth was a bundle of potential, but there was a need for an administrator to be released into that ecosystem in order for the full potential of that which God had created in the garden to be realized. And so God did not need an immaterial personality. God did not need a spirit. God needed a material being that could interact with the physical creation. So, apart from the fact that God had crystallized an entity that came out of no raw material, the immaterial aspect of man was already in existence,
But the challenge that existed in the book of Genesis chapter 2 was a challenge that required a physical being to solve. And so God had to add another layer to the immaterial foundation that he had already created. Please stay with me. Stay with me. And so what did he do? He formed man out of the dust of the ground. That word form is artistic. It is what you do with plasticine in children's school. Modeling now took place. God became an artist and he now created a container. Now, it is needful for us to know which member of the Godhead was responsible for this experiment. Because the Bible says the Lord God, and in the original Hebrew it was Jehovah Elohim, and that's the pre-incarnate identity of Jesus Christ. And by the time we consult with the writings of Paul, you will find that one of the things on Jesus' CV in the book of Colossians chapter 1 was that he was actually the physical creator of everything that finds expression in the natural and in the unseen realm. If you are still with me, say amen. Alright, so he now formed man out of the dust of the ground and released into man that entity that was created, that is immaterial, for him to take possession of the container that was made to trap that dimension. The implication of what just took place in the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 was that man gained consciousness, and the proof of life is consciousness. The moment you are no longer conscious, and that's why are you with me? Your state of unconsciousness is a state of sleep. Is that true? Or it's not true? It means you can be sleeping and somebody will tiptoe into the room and you are conscious. You say, Friday, what are you doing? That's not true. You are not conscious. And that's why death, from the perspective of the fountain of living waters, is a state of sleep, a state where we lose consciousness. The proof of life is consciousness. When God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the Bible says that man became a living soul. So the first aspect of your history, of the history of your spirit, is that your spirit man was called from God. Your spirit man came out of no existing raw material. Your spirit man was fructified to be able to interact with an immaterial world. Are you here? You are not here. Well, as we continue with the study, you will realize that it's only spirit that can touch spirit. It is only spirit that can align with spirit. The state in which man existed in the book of Genesis chapter 1 will make him totally irrelevant in addressing a situation that was domiciled in the natural realm. And so God had to build another layer on the immaterial foundation so that this personality will be able to interface not just with the spirit domain, but with the natural realm. And I need to tell you that in all of the creative enterprise that God did in the book of Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, God never created any scripture that has the capacity to both interface with the unseen realm and the seen realm. The first of such a creature that was ever brought into being is this enterprise in the creative initiative of God called man. Angels can interface with the spirit domain, but an angel cannot pick up your hoe and go to the farm and cultivate for you. There's a restriction. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay. So God is spirit. So there are several things that God has limited himself to. And so there are some things he will not do, because he has decided to make himself handicapped. He has decided to make himself a spirit being. Are you following what? In fact, the original intention is that God will wear you so that he can, yes, now operate in the natural. He'll put you on. So you become the extension of him. And that's what the concept of the body of Christ is the increase of Christ, the vessel that Christ possesses, so that he can still be active in the natural realm. Well, since you are not following, you know the secret things belong to God. The secret. My heart burned when I was doing this study. My heart burned. Your heart will burn today. That's the announcement. All right, let's try again. And so, this creature, this is the only being that has the authority to legitimately operate in an immaterial domain and also to operate in a material domain. So your sheep, for instance, your dog, for instance, cannot operate in the immaterial domain. He doesn't have the infrastructure, the facility to carry out that kind of feat. Angels cannot operate in the physical domain, because they don't have what it takes to interface with this realm. And God decided to create a being of the interface, a being that could stretch some of his aspects into the natural, stretch some of his aspects into the invincible and the supernatural. That's the kind of being that God had in mind before man was created. So the second thing about the history of your spirit. Are you still with me? We're still doing history. The history of your spirit. The second item that we need to discuss quickly is the item of the fall. Because man became a living soul when his spirit was released to be domiciled within his body. What it means that for man to be a living soul was that he was an intelligent creature that had the faculties to be able to interact with his environment. He had the seat of his intelligence was in his mind. And with his mind, he could interact intelligibly with his environment. And it is the status of your mind that is the foundation of your dominion mandate. Because the seat of your intelligence has been empowered by God to many more degrees than the seat of intelligence that he found in other creatures. And that is one of the reasons why you are capable of that reality called dominion. Are you with me? Then God wanted man to be able to feel. And so his emotion was the seat of his ability to feel, so that he would not be a robot. Then his will was going to be the chamber, the strongest chamber, which is the instrument through which he makes choices. And his life was going to go in the direction of the choices that he makes. And one ultimate choice he had to make within the context of the garden was the choice of his lines of development. And there were two lines, possible lines of development. Tree of life. If the tree of life was what he chose, then the spirit within him will now become exalted in the gradient of the flow of possibility. But unfortunately, he chose the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Before this time, he became a living soul. And the moment he chose that tree, he was now sentenced to live from his soul. His soul now experienced a mutation and he became self. And so his lines of consciousness was along the lines of self-centeredness. that was occasioned by the fall of man. And the implication of what I just said is that he was now a creature that withdraw from himself as the source. And that kind of arrangement is going to kill his spirit. So the second thing about the history of your spirit was that on the account of your fall, the soul became the source in partnership with the body. And the soul became oversized, so much so that the rays of possible divine light could no longer fall on the spirit man, and the spirit man was choked, and it was in a state of comatose. Second thing we need to note about the history of your spirit. If you are still with me, say amen. It's not an obituary. You see, the way you are sad already. It's not an obituary. It's not an obituary. May the Lord give you understanding. So your spirit was in a state of comatose. And you were now a principality that was measured into time. Because your hopes of connecting with the immaterial world, the divine world, the divine realm, was totally dashed. That possibility was no longer in view. At best, you can interface through the agency of Satan's commitment with the second heaven, and you become a creature that is galvanized to carry out the desires of darkness. That's what happened to your spirit. Your spirit that was crystallized as a vessel that God will wear so that he can seize the faculties, your other faculties, and move in the earth to extend the frontiers of his kingdom. That your spirit is in a state of comatose. And that was how we were when we were still sons and daughters of disobedience. Our spirit was in a state of comatose. And if you study the chapter of our redemption properly in the book of Romans, when you get to chapter 5, are you still with me? Oh my. You will see something so easy to rush over and not get to see. Because in Romans chapter 5, Paul the apostle was diligent to show us the legal aspect of our salvation. And the legal aspect of our salvation happens to do with satisfying the claims of divine justice. And he was in a very, very, he built an intellectual edifice in the book of Romans to show us how Jesus' sacrifice adequately satisfied the claims of divine justice. And because of that, another protocol was initiated in the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 10. Which is a protocol of life. And this protocol of life is a curative initiative that God put in place to cure us from all the ailments of the fall so that we can indeed become a new creation. If you are there in the book of Romans 5, I'm trying to put in place so that I can explain 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17 talks about the third aspect of the history of your spirit. But let's hold on. Are you still there? Romans chapter 5 verse 10. One of the first words you will stumble upon if you read Romans chapter 5 is the word justification. And it comes so boldly in verse 1. Justification. You will not find those kinds of words when you journey further in the epistles, because the book of Romans is such a wonderful piece. It shows our state when we were still under condemnation, and all the legal things that had to go into play in order to bring us to another layer of consciousness. And this layer of consciousness was occasioned by the fact that the indwelling spirit was smuggled into our vessel. So the possibility of being conscious of the things obtainable in the realm of God became one of the blessings, one of the many blessings that was available at our disposal. In the book of Romans chapter 5, the Bible says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son." That's the legal side. The legal side satisfies everything that is needed to achieve reconciliation. The demands of justice and righteousness in the spirit being met, then the outcome became reconciliation. But you see, when this reconciliation was achieved, that was not all that God set in motion. Reconciliation, wonderful. The legal aspect was accomplished. And in addition to that, there is an organic initiative that God puts in place, which is remedial in nature. It is therapeutic in nature. And that is, now that we are reconciled, the project now is a project of life. Can you see that salvation is in three tenses? Therefore, we are saved. That's theologically correct. Because in the context of satisfying the claims of divine justice, and in the context of you becoming justified on the basis of your faith, you are saved. Past tense. On the strength of the organic protocol, which is therapeutic in nature, to deliver you from all the ailments of the fall that has corrupted your vessel, the life of God is on an errand to achieve that. And that's why this scripture says He wants to save us with his life. That means there is an aspect of salvation that is accomplished. There is an aspect of salvation that is ongoing, which is the aspect of salvation that has to do with the life of God conquering every symptom and strand of death that is still part of our framework on the account of the mutation that took place because of the fall. I don't have time to break the process and the path of life. I don't have time. We are running for time. But this aspect of salvation that the life of God is attempting to accomplish in your vessel is still ongoing. I hope you got it to that point. So in that regard, we are being saved. Get that? And there is an aspect of salvation that is futuristic. When God comes to deliver us from the presence of anything that has to do with the old creation, so that we are in an entirely new context altogether. Are you with me? You are not with me. So in the syllabus, not for today, maybe for another time. If I cannot teach you that faith can be a verb and faith can be a noun, if I don't show you faith as a noun, many of you may not be equipped with what it takes to live a life that is consistent to God, that which is the requirement for you to embrace that salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. If I don't show you that there are two aspects to faith, faith the verb and faith the noun, and explain to you what faith the noun is, you will believe that person that told you that once saved, always saved is Bible doctrine. So because I don't have the time, but I can drop this until that time. Meanwhile, that time I'm talking about will not be a conference like this. No, it will be a Bible study. There will be no miracles. No signs, no wonders, just the Bible. Now listen, in the syllabus of your salvation, you know I said there's an aspect that is accomplished, there's an aspect that is ongoing, and there's an aspect that will come in the future. Should I say something quickly before I run away? The end of this your believing is when Jesus appears. That is this syllabus that has been, this thing that happened to you the day you gave your life to Christ is the beginning of a process. Exactly. Because it is the beginning of a process, what you need to keep to be consistent, what you need for this process to continue are some hard facts that are revealed in the Bible. Because as long as the process is still ongoing, the process can stop in your life. But let me leave it there until I have the time. But the end of your believing is when Jesus appears. Number two, once saved, always saved is only true at the point of death. Let me stop. Only at death. So when you see some scriptures will tell you, this thing will happen if we are steadfast, because it is still a process. You can lose it. It is still a process. Are you following? But you see, like I said, I have not taught you the difference between faith the verb and faith the noun. Because the word pistis is actually faith the noun. And if you don't know that word means faithfulness, then you will not be able to interpret many scriptures. The great John 3:16 was not properly rendered in English language. What does it read? For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son. That's the problem. They use faith the verb. But in the original Greek context, I hope you know, I studied some of that Greek. In the original Greek context, it is whosoever continues believing is faith the noun. Whosoever continues what? So I will now show you what will happen to our theology if we just mix those tenses. And all the things that have been used to back up that counterfeit position is those intrigues. So I had to go and study it, dismantle. Okay, what is this? I found something which we'll do not in a conference like this. Well, we can have 3 hours to teach every day for like 4 days, 5 days. We'll be able to, and I tell you we're going to do it, because I'm seeing falsehood is just, it's rising so strong. And I have a particular calling from the Lord to present truth in the midst of falsehood. I have authority from him. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. So the first part of the history of your spirit is the creation of your spirit. Second part of the history of your spirit is the fall of man and what it did to your spirit. It rendered it comatose. The third part of the history of your spirit is having fulfilled the claims of divine justice. The indwelling spirit now tabernacles therein. Get that? So we can go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. And then we can now do the reading properly. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. But he that is joined... There is a word there, and the word joined is the same word for kolaho. It's kolaho in Greek language, and it was used in a few scriptures. Somebody turn quickly. Turn to Luke chapter 10 verse 11. We'll see that word kolaho. He that is joined to the Lord, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us. The word cleaveth there is kolahu. Is there any way you can trek from here to your house without picking up some dust? Second scripture, Luke chapter 15, verse 15. Luke chapter 15, and he went, this is the prodigal son, he went and kolaho himself to a season of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. The prodigal son, when he went to the strange country that he advanced into, he found a citizen of that country and kolahoed himself. Kolaho is the same word that is used when the Bible says that a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall kolaho, cleave to his wife, and they too shall become one flesh. In kolaho, two becomes one. How many of you know Fanta and you know Coca-Cola? If you take a bottle of Coca-Cola and a bottle of Fanta and you mix them together, what do you have? It's kolaho. It is no longer Fanta. It is no longer Coca-Cola. It is a new thing that has been formed by kolaho. So the Bible says that if you are joined to the Lord, you are one spirit. So the arrangement, oh my, you are not with me. The arrangement that we have here is what we call the arrangement of the mingled spirit. And I need to take time to explain that. The mingled spirit. It is not Holy Spirit plus your spirit, it is one spirit. There is an arrangement that finds expression. It is because of this intimacy. Are you here? Yes, this level of intimacy such that when the Holy Ghost is moving in your heart, it looks as if it's your spirit that is moving. And when your spirit is moving, experientially it feels as though it's the Holy Ghost moving. It's difficult to separate the move of the Holy Ghost in organic context from the move of your human spirit. It's joined. It's kolaho. It is because of kolaho that the two, husband and wife, are one. Do you understand that? So I came tonight to teach us on what I called the economy of the mingled spirit. Stay with me. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Because of kolaho, that's why a metaphor is used to describe the church. And this metaphor is the bride. Because what is happening is a permanent intercourse between spirits and the possibility of separating them. Is a matrix that is so deep. And that's why the church is depicted by that metaphor, bride. Because she's being prepared for an intimacy from which she will not be relieved. And that same arrangement is what forms the economy of the Holy Spirit vis-a-vis your own human spirit. So I need to take time to explain to us the economy of the mingled spirit. Hallelujah. For he that is what? Joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Don't forget that word, kolaho. It is the basis upon which two things can become 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's take something from 9 to 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just softly, from 9 to 12. But as it is written, I had not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. In attempting to explain those two verses of Scripture, Apostle Paul in verse 11 now gives us an illustration, gives us a kind of explanation so that we can understand the previous statements that he made, and he unveils something. What did he unveil? He said, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? That is to say that your spirit knows everything about you. It's just like data. You have data on someone, and everything, you know the person's CV, you know the person's date of birth. The person might be trying to hide it, but you are walking the data room, and you can bring everybody's file and say, this one is 1983. The Spirit of God knows. Your human spirit knows everything about you. Your dimensions, your measurements, your tensile stress, your tensile strain is already calibrated on your spirit. I hope you know the Bible says that God knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. There is a knowledge about us that God has, with which he uses to regulate temptation that comes to us. Because the Bible says that God will not allow us to be tempted much more than we have the capacity to bear. There are markings, readings on your spirit to show your size, your tensile stress capacity, your tensile strain capacity. And it's on the strength of these readings that God allows temptation to come into your life, as the case may be. Are you still with me? So the Bible says that everything about your humanity is not a mystery to your human spirit. That's the first thing Paul says. Then the second thing he says is that everything about God is open to the Holy Ghost. Let's try again. I said everything about you is calibrated on your spirit, and everything about God is calibrated on his spirit. Even the deep things of God are calibrated right there. So, in the economy of the mingled spirit, the Holy Ghost is fused to your spirit in a kind of organic union that makes it difficult for you to discern your own spirit and discern the Holy Ghost. It means that the Holy Spirit doesn't only come to enliven your spirit, but it comes to empower your spirit to be able to operate on a realm that only the Holy Ghost can operate. Your access level has been upgraded because of the economy of the mingled spirit. Yes. We came here yesterday, I am Pastor Austin, just to look around and see how many of the brethren. I miss them so much. I wanted to look upon them when they were not, when they don't come. I wanted to see them without suit and tie, because if we come to their bodies formal, you will know who Satan is hunting. You just see everyone just so fine. So, hallelujah. Meanwhile, darkness has been doing overtime in some quarters. So I wanted to sneak up. Hallelujah. So when we showed up, we now began a prayer. A prayer erupted. I like those kind of things. You just go somewhere and then one prayer like this just starts. And most times those are the best kind of prayer meetings. The one that just erupts. So okay, let's do 5 minutes, then it's 5 hours. Just the Holy Ghost begins to drive the thing. When you notice, when, oh my, and the hand of God came so powerfully, so powerfully, so tangibly. In recent times, I feel the oil as if it's physical. while I was praying with the brethren, with joy in my heart, then I saw the future. What I saw was not from my spirit, because my spirit does not have prophetic abilities. The Bible says that when the Spirit of truth comes, He will show you things to come. And suddenly, I could see through the Holy Ghost. And I saw the future. And consistent with what I saw, God now gave me an instruction to go back and implement. And I was sharing with Pastor Austin today. Those abilities are possible because of the economy of the mingled spirit. Your spirit has gained the abilities that are in the Holy Ghost. You can peep into God. Yes. If the Bible says that all the calibration about God is drawn out on the Holy Ghost, it means there's no aspect of God that I don't have the potential to know. Yes. Remember, spirit contacts spirit. Remember, spirit can be with spirit. So do you now understand that man is not a spirit? He just has a spirit. And the ultimate purpose of that spirit is a vehicle that God can wear so that it is God moving on earth through your human vessel. God needs to wear something. If not, he will be handicapped. Okay, just like it was in the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. When he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He was knocking on the door of his church, but he was outside. So you know what that kind of church is. It's a church. Okay, no. Jesus was outside and trying to knock. And he was in captivity. He was bound. He could not show himself. In order to avoid that kind of comment about us, we need to know the dynamics of the economy of the mingled spirit. Because Jesus, according to New Testament theology, the Bible says the Lord is now that spirit. So the Holy Spirit doesn't come to represent himself or to speak for himself. He comes to provide infrastructure so that all that is of the Lord can flow through him. Alright? So, through this arrangement, I can tap into anything that God has. I have that potential. I have that potential. It's just like you are trading in Bitcoin, and then the coin you bought now has a breakthrough. Do you understand? Bitcoin is not money, it's currency. So you will need to change it to your own money so that you can now do. But there is a mad chase to make it money, because people pay for hotels now with Bitcoin. Let's assume it is still not money. It has value. But you need to convert it to your own currency before you can go to ShopRite and buy something. Are you following? Alright. So, these possibilities we have in God has value. And it is through the agency of the wisdom of God, which is one of the tributaries of Christ, that we can convert that value into our own context to make purchases, to make advancement in the journey of destiny. There is a system that the eyes of the church have been close to. Most of us have operated in measured possibilities, not optimum and optimal possibilities, because our eyes have not been open to the arrangement that God has put in place to ensure that your destiny is adequately funded and fully prosecuted. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? even so. The things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. How on earth would Samuel had known that God, he said, had God pleasure for offerings and sacrifices? He was talking to Saul. He said, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fats of ram. That man was not speaking from the soil of his soul. That knowledge was in God. He was speaking from God. To obey, it was in that delivery he equated stubbornness to witchcraft. It was not in Bible school he learned that. He was tapping from a knowledge bank that was domiciled in the depths of God. That's why those kind of utterances are not common. Because people that can pick from that frequency, most of them have died. So a generation must rise that understands this economy. And I want to take my time to be opening it strand by strand so that you will see that the devil has found a way to make us to measure our possibility by bringing darkness. But that darkness will be shattered by light. In the name of Jesus. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit. Of God. So two things we have established here is that the human spirit knows the things of man, and the Spirit of God knows the things of God. And this economy of the mingled spirit, your spirit is so fused to God that the things of God can flow into that membrane. And the things of your own spirit can flow into God's membrane. And that is the reason why Jesus gave us the commandment, abide in me and I in you. That kind of arrangement is an arrangement of, it's a co-inhering reality which is only obtainable in circumstances where two are one. Are you still with me? Can we do John chapter 3 verse 6? John chapter 3 verse 6 quickly, because I need to explain this scripture. This is one of the scriptures that people have used to say that man is spirit. Because the scripture says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Are you with me? Alright. I need to explain quickly. If you listen to my thesis on man, you will find that man is spirit, soul, and body. And this scripture is saying it is only your spirit component that is born of the spirit in salvation. Only the spirit component. The soul is still the old soul. The body is still the old body. Or did you grow mustache the day you gave your life to Christ? Then white beard just came out. No. The soul is still the old soul. The body is still the old body, but it's the spirit component that God regenerated. The reason is because the Spirit of God can only act on spirit. The Spirit of God can only walk on spirit. And the moment the Spirit of God came in contact with your spirit that was comatose, it transmitted the life it was carrying into your spirit, and then it resurrected your spirit by that life, not by human life, but by the life it contained. It gave life to your spirit. And that's why the Bible says that it is the spirit that quickens. One aspect of the spirit's specialty is the ability to quicken. let me give you an idea. If a human being dies and an angel walks to that human being and releases angelic life into that human being and he is able to resurrect the human being will not be a normal human being. It will be operating consistent with the life that a living did. So the capacity of your spirit originally in the first phase of that history class I just did. Are you with me? The capacity of your spirit in that, in the first item of that history class, which is that your spirit was created out of no existing material. The capacity of your spirit then and the capacity of your spirit now that was living by the life of God are two different paradigms. Two different realities. So after that, God enlivens your spirit in regeneration. The prosperity that your spirit is enjoying and the authority of the spirit will be used to inflict your soul and to deliver it from its mutated state, which is self. And God will take advantage of circumstances, of situations, of people, of promotion, of He will take advantage of anything just to defeat the configuration of that soul under the fall until he stretches it out again and makes it a neutral organ that is humble enough to receive instructions from your recreated human spirit. My burden for this weekend is to show us the intrigues that is obtainable in that mingled spirit context. Oh, if you pick what I'm saying, it will be easy for you to hear God. If you know what I'm saying, it will be easy for you to see visions. If you know what I'm saying, it will be easy for you to check a trip whether there is safety before you start it. It will be very easy. Because the economy provides for it. He said, when the spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. And the word Jesus used was when. You can be born again and the spirit of God may not have come to you. Because scriptures reveal the things that should happen when he comes. A lot of people take for granted the things the Bible speaks about. We just say, okay, I'm born again, that's all. You don't understand. He will have to come. There is a language that he speaks, and your human spirit will need to be able to decode it.